Morning. It's good to see everyone here today, and prayer is that we will be blessed as we enjoy our time together in the Lord. I'm going to continue on with working through the book of Joshua, and as we take a look at Joshua and just the next step in their experience. The last time I was here, we spoke about Joshua chapter 2 and just the way that Rahab he exemplified a true faith in God. And as we continue in Joshua chapter 3 and Joshua chapter 4, just want to, as we move forward, moving forward in faith. Now, some of this I have mentioned before, but in crossing the Jordan, what we're going to do is take a look at Joshua chapter 3. So if you could turn with me there, that would be great. In Joshua chapter 3, it says, I'm reading from the NIV today, it says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests you are who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. And then you will go. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance, about 1,000 yards, between you and the ark, and do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant, pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that you may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the edge of the Jordan rivers, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And so I just want to highlight that verse. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, the Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now we'll then choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. And so there we'll just pause at the moment. We've talked about the crossing of the Jordan. I wanted to just reiterate some points here with regard to how the people of God responded to Joshua and how he spoke to the people of God, or the Israelites themselves. And first of all, my title here is Moving Forward by Faith or in Faith. And it's communication and the communication of faith. Communicating faith is something that is sometimes difficult to do, isn't it? What does that mean, communicating faith? Well, communication is vital for all of us in the sense of that's how we get through in life. Right now, there's this particular way of communicating. We all have different ways of communicating. Sometimes with our own children, all it requires is a look, right? You look at your child, they're doing something, they go, oh, mom's looking at me, or dad's looking at me, and or your wife is looking at you as a husband, and vice versa. We have sometimes we don't even use words, but there are times that we certainly have to speak the other week I was meeting with someone, and they were telling me about an issue that that this young lady was going through, and so I said, now what, you know, have you ever? This young lady is going through, and she has a friend of hers who's not her boyfriend, but she says he won't talk to me. And I said, well, have you asked him why? No. I said, how can you know what's going on if you don't ask him why? If you don't talk to him, you've got to find out. And so I wanted to follow up with them, but they weren't at church today. But just how that communication is going. It's highly important in our lives to communicate. And what Joshua chapter 3 entails is that this communication of faith that we see, that Joshua communicated with the people, and we're going to go through a list of things of how he did that. Now, what is it that we see here? Well, the basis of it is found in verse 9, which I mentioned to you. The basis of it is found in verse 9. I know that the Lord has given this land. I was reading chapter 2. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. He didn't say, come here and listen to my words. He doesn't come and say, well, this is what Moses left me, or this is what the high priest has to say. He said, this is what God has to say. First of all, we need to establish very quickly and very importantly that our faith and any trust and any faith that we exercise in our lives has to have its source in God himself. When I see people, especially you see them, and nowadays you can watch a plethora of podcasts and videocasts, right? That you can watch it, and there'll be some individuals that say, yeah, I am communicating what the Lord, or they make it sound as if their words are as important as God's words. Many years ago, in a mission organization that I worked with, lovely lady was talking. It was a seminar, and she was teaching on prayer. And it was actually a video we were watching. And this woman, she says, she pauses and then she looks up to the roof and she says, what do you want me to say to them? And I was like, you just lost me, lady. You just lost me. You think that, you know, there's a 100 people in this room and that, you know, God is speaking to you because you think you're God's general? My goodness. What a sad proclamation of how God speaks to us. He has spoken us through the prophets, spoken to us through Moses and Abraham, through the prophets, through all the patriarchs. He's spoken through the word of God. And in these last days, he's spoken to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1. That is how God speaks. So does he use individuals? Does he use us to develop the word of God? Absolutely. And you and I have that privilege to look at what the word of God says, and hopefully we interpret it correctly. You have a responsibility as you listen to myself or you listen to anybody that occupies this pulpit, that they have to deliver the word of God in a way that has integrity and a way that is properly interpreted. Now, sometimes as mere humans, we are going to sometimes maybe give a nuance or an angle that might be something that's special to us or important, and we highlight it. And sometimes you may agree or disagree. And we are just people going through in this journey of life and moving forward in faith. Now, the people of Israel, that's what they were doing. They were moving forward in faith. And so they receive these instructions. And as we see, the officers speak to the people. And it says, verse 2, after 3 days, the officers went through the camp giving orders to the people. And they said, these are the instructions that you're going to receive. Now, what had happened is that it was important for them to understand that there was order. When we move in faith, there is order. As we move forward in faith, there is order. There are things to be done. If you go through life asking God to guide you and help you, but you don't do anything on your part in faith, the basis of it is there. But if you're just a person who moves randomly forward, things are not going to happen. There's many of you with professional designations, and there's certain jobs that you are able to do mainly because you studied to be that individual who is able to do that kind of work. I could never apply to become a civil engineer, a structural engineer, an electrical engineer. But my friend Ken Lau here, he has that designation as an engineer. And he can apply for a job saying, this is where, you know, and so then he places it, and then in faith he moves forward, praying that God will give him the job. I could pray that God will give me the job, but they will go look at my designation and say, we don't see any sort of post-secondary education in engineering here. You can't do it. So as the people speak to the officers speak to the people, they're saying, these are the instructions of the Lord. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and what? And follow it. So there's instructions there. So that's how they speak to the people. Joshua speaks to the people, verse 5. He says to them, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Okay? So they've received their instructions to move out, but he says, this is where Joshua, who has that relationship with God, who is the leader of the people, he says, God is going to do amazing things. Now, how can he say he's going to do amazing things with full confidence and they listen to him? Well, we've gone over Joshua's life. He'd already proved himself. He'd already seen God move in his life and was able to take what he is and what he was and what he was doing, and they could say, yeah, God will do amazing things. One of the things that the elders of this assembly, as they stand before you and say, we're going to be doing this particular project, we're going to do this particular thing, very rarely do we go, I don't know about that. Why? Because we trust them. Why? Because we've seen who they are over the last number of years. And that's what leadership is about. When there's no trust in the leadership, then often questions come about. But we can do that. You know, whatever project it might be, it may be something to do with a spiritual project or an actual physical project here. Whatever it might be, we have confidence in that. That's why Joshua could say that as he speaks to the people. Joshua also speaks to the priests, verse 6. He says to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. So as Joshua speaks to them, he's giving them very specific instructions. Faith requires not only order, but faith requires listening to the instructions. What are our instructions? Do you want to see people saved? Do you want to see people come to know Christ? What are our instructions? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. If I just sit around and don't share my faith with someone, how are people going to get saved? The Bible says. The Bible encourages us. It tells us. How will they listen if they don't have someone who preaches to them? Those are the instructions. That's how it works. We can't just sit back and hope for the best, right? You see that television commercial about that guy that packs the parachute for some lady, and she goes, and he goes, here, and she goes, are you a professional? And the guy looks at her and he goes, you laugh at that. It's a banking commercial or something like that. But I always laugh at that guy because you think right up until that moment that he's going to say, oh, yes, I'm a professional. But the reality that he's just, crossing his fingers. That's something that is unprofessional in many ways, but we know that as we move forward, we listen to the instructions, but it's based in our faith in God. It's based in the reality of who God is in our lives. As we move forward in faith, not only in this message, but in life, the Lord speaks to Joshua. Here we see in verses 7 and 8. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in all the eyes of Israel. And so, as he was with Moses, and then verse 8, so tell the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters. Go and stand in the river. Now, I never really thought about this, but we think about these priests, these individuals who are devoted and dedicated to the purposes of God, and they have to go and stand in the river, in the middle of the river. Now, the River Jordan was a river that obviously it flowed into the sea, into the Dead Sea, I believe, I think, or the Sea of Galilee. I forget where exactly it flows to. But it's something that regularly went by a number of probably different villages and different places along the way. But as they're crossing here, they receive this instruction. Now, as he gives this instruction, I am sure the priests, they've got this Ark of the Covenant. Now, remember, this wasn't something that was light. It was laden with gold. It was a beautiful piece of furniture, and so as they take it and they go across, they have to stand and they're instructed to stand in the middle of the river. God does this miraculous thing, as we know, and we will see later on about that. So, what does he say? He says, when you reach the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Now, many of them that were doing this, they had only heard about the crossing of the Red Sea. Their ancestors had all passed away. Now, some of them might have been little children, but I don't want to speculate or assume anything that's not there. So they had never, maybe some of them had never experienced exactly what was about to happen. Faith, sometimes we can talk about the faith of our fathers. I have wonderful legacy in my grandparents and my parents. And they could tell me of things that happened before I was born, of where God was faithful to them. Those are things that they pass on in the form of legacy to us. Maybe I haven't lived what they lived, but in faith, because of their strong faith and the way that they say, this is how it took place, this is what happened. And we can even read about individuals who received the provision of God or the guidance or the protection of God that we may read about in a book. And we can say, that is a faith that I didn't see that, but I heard about it. And I trust it because this person has integrity in the way that they communicate the gospel, in the way they communicate about God. Joshua says to them, faith. By faith, you will go into the river. And so they do that. And so the Lord speaks to Joshua here and he tells him this is what is going to happen. And then here, Joshua once again speaks to the people. And that verse that I highlighted, verse 9, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And he says, this is how you will know that the living God is among you. And then he tells them what they're to do. And he says, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel. And he says, as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. A miracle will take place. I've thought about all those little villages all along the way, and even down towards where this river is emptying out. All of a sudden, that water is cut off. They might have not have been there, but a miracle took place. The water stood in a heap, and as they went in. And he says, verse 14, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now, that's important to understand. It says the instruction to the people was to follow them, from the officers to the people. They said, follow these men. And here, they went ahead of them. It's important, once again, I want to emphasize this point, the order that God wants us to do certain things with regard to our faith. I talked about education. If you want a job in a certain field, there's a certain preparation, there's a certain obedience, there's a certain thing that you have to do. Whatever it might be in life, you know, we don't take our kids and say, okay, now go get married, you know, and they're 6 years old. No, there's a formation time. We teach them how to be mature, responsible adults. We prepare them as much as possible. And then we pray like mad. We want the very best. And so faith requires these different things, listening to instructions. It requires a true, proper communication. Do we have deficit in this area of our lives? I think we do. But I think we can learn from the people of Israel and this ancient tribes of people who were going into the promised land that God had given to them. But he said, listen to my instructions. Now, why was it all so communicated so well? Well, let's just hearken back to a time 40 years prior when the people of Israel had crossed the Red Sea in a miraculous way. They had been rescued and saved from slavery. And yet when, you know, all of a sudden there was no water or there was no food, they complained. They were quick to say, oh man, we had it so much better off under slavery in Egypt, eating leeks and onions and garlic. They must have had a lot of bad breath. But we think about them back there, and oh, it was great, it was awesome. And I'm sure Moses would have been there scratching his head and going, you really think so? You really think so? The reality was that they didn't have that faith And you can't pin it on Moses, but the people rejected and they wandered in the desert those 40 years. This time around, they're going through and they're going to go to the other side to conquer the land. God requires us not only to be faithful to understanding what he communicates, but we have to know that in everything, he communicates every little step to us. Do you wonder if God communicates to you on a daily basis or gives you instructions for life? Look at the Sermon on the Mount. I find the Sermon on the Mount to be outstanding. It talks about everything in life. Talks about money, talks about relationships, it talks about faith, talks about prayer, talks about how do we relate to one another. It talks about practical things, it talks about spiritual things. It's amazing how Jesus, in such a concise sermon, gave us so much instruction. And as we think about Joshua and the people here, it tells us here at the very end, it says how the water from upstream, verse 16, stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap at a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarephath. These are the people that I can't help but be curious, who were at these little towns and villages that were quite a ways upstream, and they're looking out and they're going, what in the world is with the river? Amazed at what's going on. And it says here, the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, which is the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea, right? Was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completely crossed on dry ground. There is that miracle that took place. Now, as they cross in the Jordan, there were some things that were asked to do. Verse 1 of chapter 4 says, when the whole nation finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, from one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood. We've talked a little bit about those monuments in the past, those moments in our lives that we set up as memorial stones, right? And this is exactly what that was. We're not going to go over that ground again. But just to remind you, what's your memorial stone in your life? The moment you got saved. How God moved in your life. And I'm talking from a spiritual point of view. Yes, we have birthdays and we have anniversaries. And we have, the birth of children and even the passing away of a loved one. We often remember those dates. But this is to do with spiritual activities in your life. Myself, I can remember so many wonderful things that God did in my life. And I can remember maybe the age I was at or the approximate date. And I'm so grateful for those things. But what I want to do is take us a little bit further in this. Is that Joshua called together the 12 men, and he says in verse 4, And go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, each of you to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask, what does these stones mean? Tell them the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be memorial to the people of Israel forever. And that's something that we can pass on to our children. Isn't it wonderful when you as a parent, you can say to your child, hey, Mom, Dad, when did you get saved? When did you trust Jesus as your Savior? Let me ask you a question. Do you have a moment in time when you've done that? Believed and trusted in the Savior? Because if you don't, you can't tell your children. that there was an initial beginning of a relationship where I repented of my sin and believed that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Trust in Jesus. Because that's a wonderful thing. I with confidence, I can tell my children how I came to know the Lord. When I got saved. Can you? Does it make me better? Does it make me more spiritual or more holy? No, it makes me saved. That's it. And you know what? There's lots of room in heaven. You know, there's no vacancy sign out there at this moment in time. But there's coming a day when it will say no vacancy. And it'll be too late. So we invite you to believe and trust in the Savior. As we close, verse 8 of chapter 4, I really like the beginning of this. It says, "So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them." It really encapsulates the fact that in my first slide, we talked about communicating faith and all the different moving pieces of who communicated to who and how they communicated. It all started with God. And then as God gave Joshua the instructions, as he gave the instructions to the different groups of individuals who gave instructions as well, it was all based in the faith that they had that God would do what he did. And it says there, he said to the, and he commanded them, they took 12 stones. So they took these stones, they placed them in that place called Gilgal. And the priest who had carried the Ark of the Covenant, though, remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything, verse 10, the Lord had done, commanded, the Lord had commanded Joshua, was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed the ark of the Lord, and the priest came to the other side while the people watched. They crossed over, and there's let's jump down to verse 14. It says, "That day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they revered him for all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Command the priest carrying the ark of the testament to come up out of the Jordan.' So Joshua commanded the priest, 'Come up out of the Jordan,' and the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant. No sooner had they set their feet on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before." I've titled this, "Leaving the Past Behind." What do we see here? He gives a command for them to move out of the Jordan and onto dry land. As soon as they did that, the river returned to its regular flow, flood stage. What did they do? They left the past behind. When we know of someone that wants to be baptized, what do? We often will have a special service. We will fill this tank back here. And what will we do? We'll baptize an individual. Now, when they get baptized, it doesn't mean they get saved there. This is a symbol that identifies them with the burial, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Now, it's a happy service, because what it is often those individuals invite their friends. They invite family members. Why? Because, and often we will sing that song, "I have decided to follow Jesus." Now, it's kind of a funny song as far as I'm concerned, because it isn't like this moment they've decided to follow Jesus. But we get the gist of it. What they're doing is they're communicating, saying, "I believe and trust in the living God, and Jesus died for my sins. And so I'm letting you know in a public way, I am a follower of Christ. I got saved when I was 7. I did not get baptized till I was about 13 or 14. Okay? I was a little bit older, so I could understand it more fully. But that moment of baptism, what it is that with friends and family, you know, if they see you living in a certain way or behaving in a certain way, they can point to you and say, well, I thought you were a Christian. Not only do you say that you're saved, but you also were baptized. They came out of that Jordan River in faith in God. And they went out of that river and they left the past behind. The waters covered them. What happens when we get baptized? The waters cover you. You're dead to sin, but you rise victorious in your belief and faith in Christ that one day you're going to live eternally with God. They left the past behind. They'd come out of slavery. They'd come out of wandering in the desert. They'd come out of so many different experiences, fighting against Amorites and battling hunger. And God had provided every step of the way. But it had been a time of danger, poisonous snakes. And the roughness of the Middle Eastern desert and the heat of the sun and the cold desert winds by night. And they left that all behind and it was covered by the Jordan River being restored. When we believe by faith and trust in God, can I say to you, we can leave the past behind. Paul says it, right? Forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward. What he was saying, I press forward by faith in the living God that he will do what he says he will do. That is a wonderful place to be. How many people are slaves to their past? I screwed up in 1954. And they're still, you know, in their 90s and they're living that situation. There's a lady at Blenheim Lodge. God bless her. But this woman, she's a lovely lady. She struggles with Parkinson's, but she's very, very lucid. And I'm amazed with her whenever I sit with her. And I can barely hear her because she can't speak very loud. But all she does is talk about a lost love. When she was a young woman and how she was mistreated, and she sits in slavery to this resentment. It's tragic. Don't live with the past. Allow God to deal with it. If you need to repent, repent. If you need to confess, confess. If you need to change something, change it. But allow God to communicate to you, communicate to others by faith, move forward in faith. And he will take you into the promised land. Spiritually speaking, every time we take a step of faith, we go into God's promises, how he can help us deal with whatever it is that was the past. Can we learn from the past? Absolutely. Do we forget the past? Absolutely not. But what we do is we don't still sit in the quagmire of the past. Because all it'll do, it'll bring you down. And all it will do is make you ineffective in your purpose for God. That's what becoming a Christian is. That's what living as a Christian is. It's a victorious life, and it's a sweet life in the presence and in the communion with God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your words that speak to our heart. Help us to live for you. And we ask you to be with each person that's here. Watch over each one for good. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you both today and for the days to come.